Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Paint Points. As usual, I'm your host, Jake Painting. This podcast is proudly brought to you by the SB Nation Podcast Network and the Canis Hoopers family. Today, I'm back with another crossover show with Dylan and Chilanga from the C&D NBA show. We recorded this just before the preseason game this week. It's all still very relevant. It's a season preview and just an overview of all things Wolves. Very good guys, very good chat. So I'm going to swap the audio over onto their podcast and onto their feed since it was technically their podcast that we did the interview and the conversation on. So yeah, you'll hear a little swap over and it'll pick up about from when they introduced me onto the show. Thanks, guys.
Dylan, it's that time of the show where we put aside all the jokes, all the giggles, and we put on our serious journalist hats, because Dylan, we are serious journalists here.
I'm a 100% serious journalist. I am so serious that I had my headphones off. Chilinga can't see me right now because my video's off, but I have my headphones off. I just shut the doors in my house so that I could record. Did I miss anything, or did I come in right at the perfect time?
Oh, that was perfect, Dylan. I was just letting everyone know that we are serious. We've got all the scoops, unless that scoop's name is B. And, you know, we take our jobs very seriously. And you know, we are experts when it comes to the Timberwolves.
Hey, Scoopy, sex work is work. Just so you know, I support you and your Cash App tendencies.
And because we are such serious journalists, we are bringing on one of the premier Timberwolves analysts. The really cool thing is that this guy is independent. He's DIY. He's doing it his own thing, and he's analyzing the Timberwolves in a really cool and unique way. And you know, here at the C&D NBA show, we're all about DIY podcasting, DIY content. So welcome to the show, the creator and curator of Howls and Growls. Welcome, Jake Painting.
Thank you. Thank you. I promise I didn't pay you to give me that awesome intro, but I appreciate it.
Oh yeah, we're happy to have you. We appreciate the work that you're doing. I mean it. Like, we love the DIY game. It's where it's at, and I think it's the future of, like, you know, sports analysis and sports podcasting. I think that's just where it's at.
Yeah, I think so, and I appreciate the kind words, seriously, because yeah, it's a tough game to kind of get into, and I'm still only just got my foot in the door, but I'm having fun doing it, and hopefully the team can give me some love back and give me some good content to write about, because I don't know how much more Gerson Rosas cheating scandals I can write about.
Oh man, that's all I live for right now is Thrust the Pro Sauce. Have you heard of Thrust the Pro Sauce yet?
I have. I've embodied it in my daily life. I love it.
Jake Painting out here living Thrust the Pro Sauce. Excuse me.
Yeah, don't tell my partner that.
Well, it stays here. Don't worry. Well, welcome to the show. How is you were at Canis previously, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And how is the break, the independent thing going for you?
Yeah, good. It's a grind. I think once I started taking people's money, that I promised them a service, you know, so I have to live up to that. And yeah. And yeah, even when the content is slow or when I don't feel like opening the laptop, I have to do it. But I am enjoying it. I'm really enjoying it.
You're like Captain Nemo with these deep dives over here. He's got like Bulmaro-itis over here. He's 20,000 leagues under the ski on the deep dives. It's amazing. Like the amount of effort that you put into just watching random Spanish film. And it's
inspiring. I'm not proud of that. I'm honestly not proud of how much Spanish second league I watched.
As well as you shouldn't be, but none of us are proud. We are Timberwolves fans, and that is the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yep. That's how it goes. I guess I'm curious, like, tell us a little bit about your journey to Timberwolves fandom, because obviously, like, you are in Australia, not Minnesota. So mm-hmm. what's the history there?
Well, when I was maybe five, my mom moved us to Minneapolis for a bit. And that kind of got me into it. My brother went for the Nets. So, like, as soon as I saw the Timberwolves beat the Nets, I kind of followed them just out of brotherly hatred. So, yeah, and then since then it's kind of fostered, obviously moved back here, and I'm in Australia full-time now, hoping to get back over to the States, you know, when I can fly internationally since it's still banned here. But, yeah, it's been a long – if I could go back to five-year-old me, I'd probably slap him in the face. But I'm happy with where I'm at.
I can't believe
you probably
we've
picked
already
the Lakers
had...
or something.
I can't believe we've already had two Aussies on the podcast, by the way.
I know, international diversity. I love it.
Yeah, that's really, what we're all really about here.
Not really international diversity, just one other country.
If you're listening and you do live in another country outside of the United States, hit us up and you can come on the show. That is our guarantee. Jake, who is your favorite Timberwolf of all time, not named Kevin Garnett?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. It's probably Cat, I think. I think Anthony Edwards is going to come take that mantle pretty soon. Shout out to Nikola Pekovic. He was always like a, you know, cult favorite of mine, and now he's like a Russian drug lord, or so, like, that only increases his standing in my mind. But yeah, I think it's probably Cat. Like, there's just not that many to choose from, good, really good players especially, but definitely like your Pekovic's and Alexei Shved and Ricky Rubio. I'm a sucker for an international guy as well, so mm-hmm. but I'm gonna go with Cat until, and probably Anthony Edwards at the end of this season, but let's stick with Cat for now.
That's a great, you know, Dylan, I always ask this question to our guests, but I guess I don't really know your answer. Who's your favorite Timberwolf, Dylan?
I gotta go with the actual gangsta, Darko Milicic, the cherry farmer.
Oh, we're in the weeds now.
Yeah, just that kidding, is a just... dark horse favorite Timberwolf, or it's a white horse favorite Timberwolf, really.
White savior.
Yeah, I'm a Shabazz Muhammad fan myself. I was all in on him. When he scored 31 against the Golden State Warriors, that was like the best day of my life.
Oh, Shabazz Muhammad. Turned down what, $48 million, and played about 13 games after that.
I know, I feel bad for him. That was really tough.
Chalenga has one Shabazz Muhammad shoe.
I do, it's right here. I can grab it.
Oh, it's in the office and everything.
Uh-huh.
It's not size even 15. Paired. Is nope. it paired? It's not
but
even
is
paired.
Is that his actual shoe?
I don't think he ever wore it, but he did sign it. So, yeah, you know,
that
there's
counts.
Something.
You ever worn it? Have you ever balled with it? You need to ball with it. That's what you got to do.
It is three sizes bigger than my size, so I don't know if that's going to work for me.
That's actually impressive, though. Only three sizes.
Hey, I'm 6'4", so, you know, I got decent sized feet. All right, Jake, let's stop talking about Timberwolves of old. We're here to talk about the Timberwolves of now, the current Timberwolves. We brought you on to do a Timberwolves season preview because we couldn't think of anybody better to do a season preview for the Timberwolves. I think the first question before we get on to anything, are you pro or anti Ben Simmons on the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Oh, I'm pro Ben Simmons on the Timberwolves. I'm anti long-winded discussion that never seems to end about him, but I think I'm completely over it by this stage. Like, every piece of news we get is the exact same piece of news we got 3 days ago. But like, if Ben Simmons was on the Timberwolves tomorrow, I would be extremely excited. So yeah, I would say I'm pro Simmons. Are we pro Simmons on this podcast, or am I walking into the Lions then?
We are the most pro Simmons podcast. So
Simmons. Yeah. All right. Good. Here.
Like I get it. And also from an Australian perspective, I mean, he's quit on you already in your life, but.
We know all about this. This is nothing new for us.
Dylan and I are so pro Simmons that not on pod. This is breaking on pod. We've never talked about this on air before, but we would be willing, like, if Anthony Edwards had to go for Ben Simmons, like,
oh no.
Dragon, don't say it. We just got canceled by the entire Timberwolves.
Yeah, that is cancel culture. Timberwolves cancel culture is lining up with their pitchforks right now.
Okay, but here's the thing. Anthony Edwards was designed, the pick itself of Anthony Edwards was designed to attract another star, whether it be Devin Booker or whoever. And now Ben Simmons is the lowest trade value he will ever be in his entire career, bar none. I mean, he's doing it himself, not just by his play, but now he's driving it down even further. And Anthony Edwards, while yes, he looks like he could be one of the greatest Timberwolves of all time when all is said and done. J.R. Ryder back in 1994, 1995 was the exact same thing for the Timberwolves, standing about at the same stature, doing exactly the same things on the court. And I just think that Timberwolves fans, maybe they're too young, but they don't remember this. And I just want to look out. Like, for every one player that ends up being the Donovan Mitchells, there are 10 others that don't end up finding it quite exactly. And so
the OJ Mayos, the Tyreek Evans, you know, it's like they're
the Andrew Wiggins out there.
The Andrew
and
Wiggins.
So right now, from an asset perspective, if I were the GM, I'm not saying this as Dylan the fan. I would never do this as Dylan the fan. I don't think Chalenga would either. But as Dylan the GM, if my would you? Okay, well, Chalenga's a little bit further in than I am. But Dylan the GM, if my job depends on it, I'm taking the all-NBA player, the assuredly all-NBA player who already has made the all-NBA. You know what I mean? Like, he's already top 15 player in the league. And I just think we're getting a little bit too complicated about this because Anthony Edwards, at best, is a top 50 player in the league right now.
Yeah, it's the mystery box, isn't it? Like, Anthony Edwards could become anything. He could even become Ben Simmons. Like, that's kind of...
even if he becomes a top 15 player, how long would that take? Number one, and number two, it's still a solid trade for the Timberwolves because guess what? The Timberwolves are making the playoffs next year if they get Ben Simmons by the beginning of the season. It's still a good trade,
yeah.
Even if Anthony Edwards hits close to his ceiling,
I do. Everything you say makes sense, but I still can't get there. I think that's just a homerism from me, though. Like, that, you know, Anthony Edwards is ours and we want to keep him. It's the same reason why everyone wants to keep Jaden McDaniels, because this is the argument I've been making with McDaniels, is that, like, I love McDaniels, but the odds of him ever becoming as good as Simmons are very, very low. Like, yeah, if you can trade a second-year rookie who averaged like 7 points a game for Ben Simmons, I don't think that you have to think twice about that.
All right. I need one of our super fans to cut this out and keep it so that I get roasted when this actually happens and I'm wrong. Jaden McDaniels will never make an all-NBA team.
That's not even a hot
take. I think
that's
fair. Yeah, that's fair.
But I hope I'm wrong, and I'm hoping that somebody cuts that and takes that and shows me when I'm wrong.
That would be amazing. If you are wrong, that would be so good for the Minnesota Timberwolves. That would be so, if he got the all-NBA status, oh my God, this team would be amazing. Look, the thought of trading Anthony Edwards makes me sick to my stomach. But, you know, most trades that, like, realistic trades are, like, fans probably won't like until they see the product on the floor. You know, that's just kind of how it works. So
I don't think no one wants to trade any of their good players, and they always want to get back the good players. And that seems to be where we kind of differ from NBA GMs.
Yep. The asset management by fans is not a professional level. So let's talk about the roster as is. So Jake, from your perspective, a lot went wrong last season, right? And we could talk about what went wrong all day, but I'm curious from your eyes, what went right last season? Like, what looked good from this Timberwolves team?
So I think the obvious one is Chris Finch and his hiring. I love my X's and O's and nerdy stuff like that. And Chris Finch has become my instant kind of deity. I love Finch and the way he goes about things, and I think that him having 3 months or whatever he got before the season ended to try to acclimate himself really holds the team in good stead for this season. I think that the upgrade over Saunders was pretty obvious, and then the other thing, which is maybe not talked about as much, is I think the players on the margins who got better, Jared Vanderbilt, Naz Reid, those kind of guys. Like, I think that was that diamond in the rough kind of guys that they found the year before, who then took another leap and showed that they can actually be rotation players on an every night basis. That excites me, because now that you presumably have a team that can kind of compete for a playoff spot or a play-in spot, those guys are super important, especially when you've got D'Lo making a max, Kat's making a max, Anthony Edwards is in line for a max, no matter how bad you want to trade him. He's in line for the max eventually.
How badly I want to trade him.
I thought that one got by without getting noticed.
Nope. Dylan isn't going to let anything get by.
Yeah.
Especially Ant slander, because I can't handle this on the TL anymore. I can't handle being roasted by my own fans.
But those guys, Naz Reid and Vanderbilt and Jordan McLaughlin, like those guys who can kind of slot into those gaps between those guys and you don't have to pay them much, like that's a really big advantage. And that's what you see on all these on these good teams, is the guys that are kind of under the radar steals. So yeah, that's two of the things that excited me. Was there anything you guys had that kind of I missed out on that's glaringly obvious?
Well, I just want to expand a little bit about these fringe players. It's like Naz Reid, for example, went from one of the worst backup centers in the league.
I hated Naz Reid in his first 20 games, man. I hated Naz Reid.
He was horrible. He was slow. He couldn't move his feet. He didn't quite know what to do on offense. He did skip leg day, but he did not skip buffet day. That's for sure.
Yeah, he didn't miss many dinners, but he did miss a few leg days.
He had chicken legs below him and inside of him.
But now he's like, you know, as a role man, consistently, like you look at all the role man metrics, and Naz Reid is in the top 10 in like all of the role man. I mean, he's like, he is one of the best pick and roll centers statistically in the league out of nowhere. It was like, it was really cool to see that transition happen.
He's really like the mini Cat now, and he's got like he's smooth and he moves around the court really well. And like, he's like fleet footed. It's kind of bonkers to think about how bad he was at the start of his NBA career and he was underwhelming at LSU as well. Like I think those kind of hits that you get from the draft or from the undrafted free agency, or, you know, the Jared Vanderbilt, who was kind of a throw-in a trade, like if you get those guys up to the point where they're legitimate rotation players and getting paid like guys who aren't in a rotation or you know, low-end rotation guys, that's massive, I reckon. That's big.
Speaking of massive and big, I was going to say that Cat might not even be the big version, or Naz, that is, might not be the mini Cat. They might both be 6'9".
I always found it strange that Naz was 6'9". I always thought he looked bigger than 6'9".
It's because Cat is listed at 7 feet.
And yeah, Carl, it is like at this point, it is confirmed that Karl-Anthony Towns is not 7 feet. Like, there's no way. There's no way.
No. Under 6'11" for sure.
And he plays like it. He's never played. He's never looked 7 foot on the court. Like, I don't care what they tell me on NBA.com. Like, that man is not 7 foot.
Absolutely. You know, and I think the growth of Jaden McDaniels has also just like really made that really apparent. And that's another thing that really gives me hope for the Timberwolves' future is that both Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels, even though, you know, they're neither are a sure thing, as we've discussed, but like they both showed signs of being really, really good. Anthony Edwards showed signs of being something very special, and Jaden McDaniels showed signs of like already he is a competent NBA defender and can knock down threes. Like, if he can build on that, he is an NBA starter for 10 years, you know?
It's super rare to be good on defense in your rookie year. Like, not even average, just like it's rare for rookies to even be able to defend at all against NBA athletes and guys who have been around for this long. Like, Jaden McDaniels is legitimately an insanely good defender already. So that, I guess that's going back to what we said before. That's why people don't want to trade him, because it's like, it's rare that someone is that good defensively and still hasn't even figured out what the hell they're doing on the court, really. So yeah, we love our young guys, and you know, we're homers, but they are very good young guys, and that's how you have to build a Timberwolves team to be successful. Like, you're not going to get Ben Simmons this very often, and you're not going to get anyone in free agency. So like, finding those young guys and then finding other young guys that are kind of role players, that's the path to winning and to building this sustainable kind of roster, I think.
Jaden McDaniels obviously passed the eye test when it came to defense, but you look at like what the stats are, and there are a lot of things that don't quite line up. And I think that's because he's a rookie. I mean, you look at Patrick Williams, and he's kind of the other really great wing defender of this class. And I know Chilenga is like crying inside right now, because Isaac Okoro is going through his heart and mind, but all three of those guys were asked to defend the best guy in the court. And how often is it that a rookie even gets that assignment, much less like gets that assignment full time and is like, you're following this guy around the court 100% of the time. I just think that is the really impressive part, even more than necessarily like the amount of stats that someone else gets against. Cause like Kawhi's going to get stats against anybody. He'll find a spot and he'll shoot and he'll make the bucket. But it's just like, you look at, or LeBron, same thing. LeBron's going to figure out a way to beat everybody. Like, he put up over 40 points on LeBron James. Or LeBron James, sorry. I'm a little drunk.
wait. Hold on. LeBron versus LeBron?
LeBron's playing
Is this Space Jam 3?
Five LeBrons versus five LeBrons. Who wins? Who's the GOAT? No, but like, yeah, he put 4 points on Patrick Williams in last year. And so, just the fact
that Jason Tatum put 50 on McDaniels.
Yeah, that game was crazy. Well, that Jason Tatum game was crazy.
I watched every single possession. I watched back for every single possession, and there were less Jaden McDaniels assignments on Jason Tatum than I thought there were at the beginning.
Who was he cooking?
Probably Josh Okogie, you know, because I think that he has gotten a little bit overrated as a defender. I think he's great at like scrambling and great at getting in passing lanes. On the ball, I feel like he's more prone to foul than anything. You know, a lot of people point at that James Harden block, but that was just like a drop in the bucket as far as Josh Okogie defense.
I always compare Okogie, like Okogie's kind of like wild and out of control and like chaos, which I think lends itself to the eye tests more in terms of defense. Like when you're really obviously trying hard all the time, especially surrounded by a team that doesn't really try hard. And then you have McDaniels is kind of like annoyed that he has to do anything. Like, he's not chaotic at all. He's just like slow. He just reacts when he has to and does things really. Like his personality, he never changes his facial expression. Like, he just seems annoyed that he has to be out there defending someone so trivial to him, which I love so much. I love when he like blocks a shot, hits a three at the other end, and his face doesn't even twitch. Yeah, I love it.
He is just so, I mean, he's so steady, so under control. I mean, it's almost calm to a fault, right? You know, but then you look at like, Dylan mentioned Kawhi Leonard, and there's another calm to a fault guy. But let's like, you know, it's good to be calm when you're out on the court, even if it like might read as disinterest. Like I think that is, I'd rather have a guy be like really under control and really calm than really out of control, because that's a little bit harder to rein in, right? Like Josh Okogie still hasn't quite reined in that out of control nature. So let's talk about that's last year. Let's talk about this year. And I want to see, the Wolves won what, 23 games last season. They were 25th in offensive rating. This is cleaning the glass. 25th in offensive rating, 27th in defense rating, and 26th in net rating. So they were a bad team. They were a very bad team. There are obviously play-in expectations for this team this year. And so I want to talk about, like, how did this team improve? Jake, is there anything, like, glaring to you that, like, how this team improved and how, like, we can go from a 23-win team to suddenly competing for a play-in spot?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind, outside of the internal improvement that you kind of try and bake in there, but you don't really know how much better. Like, is Anthony Edwards going to be a 24-point per game scorer? Like, we don't know whether he might just, like Dylan said before, like he might just plateau. But I think shooting is the one that stands out to me straight away. Like, when you get rid of Ricky Rubio and you get rid of Jarrett Culver and Juan Johan Gomez, like, and you bring in Taurean Prince, who's an actually really good shooter, you know, and has been and like seems to be healthier than he has been, and then Pat Beverley as well. Like, I think simple additions like that can really kind of boost up your shooting percentage, especially when you've got guys like Cat and Edwards and D'Lo out there who are going to draw attention away from those guys. So outside of us just thinking everyone's going to get a little bit better, which I do think is true, there's more shooting out there and there's more defense as well. So you get a little bit better shooting wise, you defend a little bit better, you change the defensive scheme and hope that works. And maybe that all kind of blends together and gives you an extra 5-10 wins, as well as obviously being healthy. Like, just having your good players on the court always helps.
It's interesting because we got a lot of shooting at the beginning of last year, and it's like we were on the verge of like making that transition to a good shooting team. But a lot of those players, as in D'Lo and Malik Beasley, couldn't shoot off the catch. And then there was Juancho Hernangómez, who could shoot off the catch, but he was so streaky. So having a player like Taurean Prince, I think, kind of helps the team have more of a consistency that they need in low volume.
Yeah. And then also Taurean provides some like competent NBA defense that Juancho could not provide. You know, Taurean can move his feet. He's got like the prototypical 3-and-D wing body. I mean, I don't know. I haven't watched much tape of him, so I don't know if he is really that good of a defender, but like just physically, he looks like a better defender than Juancho does. Jake, have you watched much Taurean Prince film? Do you know much about his defense?
I watched a lot from this past season, and he was streaky defensively. Like, I think he's better than Juancho. Juancho was so bad defensively. Like, it's a low bar, man. It's a low bar to get better, to get over that. But like, I think he's better. Like you said, he's just more suited to kind of play up or down a position. Like, he can guard fours at an okay rate, and then he can guard threes at an okay rate. And as long as he's not having to guard the star player on the other team, if he's just guarding a guy who's the fourth option on another team, I think he's absolutely fine and definitely better than Juancho. And then like, he just like Dylan said, like, just knock down shots. They don't need to dribble off, like shoot off the cat off the dribble. They don't need to do anything out of the ordinary. Like, if you stand in the corner and you can hit shots consistently, even if you're not involved in 3, 4, 5 plays in a row, if you can knock down that shot when it comes to you, like, that's just so valuable, especially when you're playing around Cat as a post-up player or Anthony Edwards as a guy who's going to get downhill. But to answer your question, I think he's okay defensively. I don't know if he was better before that. I know he said how how bad his ankle was and how he'd been struggling to even get up and go to the bathroom at night. So maybe with a bit more kind of flexibility in that ankle, he might take a step back to where I kind of assumed that he was with Atlanta back in the day when he was really billed as like a premier kind of 3-and-D guy.
Yeah, you know, an ankle is a real important part of defense.
And the body, just walking around. Yeah. Like the ankle is just not an important part of the human anatomy.
Yeah, truly. I want to just backtrack to what you said about internal improvement, right? Like, I think, like, oftentimes, the thing about the Wolves is that everybody on the Timberwolves had a bad season last year. Everybody, except maybe Malik Beasley. Malik Beasley had a pretty good season when he played, and then he was on suspension, and then he got hurt, right? But he had a career season as far as numbers. Everyone else had a bad season. And so when you think about internal improvement, it's not just about like people getting better. It's players playing up to their normal standard, which did not happen last year. I think about a team like the New York Knicks, where Julius Randle and RJ Barrett just like shot the lights out from three and from the mid range. And it's like, realistically, that's going to come back to earth, and that's going to regress a little bit. Whereas with the Timberwolves, like the expectation has to be that, you know, everyone's going to get back to their standard, which is much higher than a 23-win team that we saw last year.
And I think that starts with Cat. Cat didn't have a bad season in terms of NBA season. Like, it was still well above average compared to an NBA player. But for him, like you said, like that wasn't a great Cat season, especially with his shooting inside the arc. I think he still shot around like 39% from three on high volume, which is always going to be there with him. But... Mm-hmm. Like, he couldn't hit a hook shot. He didn't shoot a left-hand hook shot for, like, 40 games after that injury. Like, that kind of goes under the radar, I think. Like, he did not use his left hand for 75% of the season. And, you know, you get that back, get a little bit more space in there and better plays to get him open, with Finch now kind of being able to sink his claws into the team a little bit more. I think if Cat improves back to, I think Cat has a chance to, yeah, go that extra step, get back to where he was, and then take another extra little shuffle above that. D'Lo was terrible for large portions of the season. If he gets back, I don't think he's going to be like all-star injury replacement D'Lo, but if he's just like, you know, the in between that and what he was last season, like that's a massive improvement. And then Edwards is the wild card for me. Like, I've said it before, I think that this whole franchise is tied to Anthony Edwards. Like, if he ends up just kind of staying where he is, or he's not that player that we saw in the second half of the season, then shit's going to get bad real quick, you know? Like,
yes.
But I don't know if you heard, but he's the best defender of the league now.
Yeah, and Chris Finch has never lied, which is actually the truth.
What the fuck is that? What is that narrative? I don't understand where that came from. Chris Finch.
I'm pushing it though. I'm pushing it at all costs. I don't care. I'm leaning into the narrative.
This guy has been in town for like less than 9 months, and all of a sudden he's like, he is Honest Abe over here. He never tells a lie.
He's never lied. He's never lied.
The only man that he's associated with was caught cheating on his wife no less than 2 weeks ago. Like,
trust the Finch.
Oh my god! I think I'm all in on it too. Like the Timberwolves Twitter positivity train, it feeds my soul. And also, like, I'm ready to just be like, I try to be realistic and like, look, Anthony Edwards. He might make a step forward this season. He better take a step forward this season, right? Like, he probably will. But I don't think he's going to come out and be some all defensive type player, you know, because he's not that. He's got a lot of really great physical tools, but he just doesn't have the technique. He doesn't have the, like, constant focus, especially, like, off ball. He falls asleep a lot. So I just can't see him coming out and being, like, a real plus defensively.
Let's see what happens when they go full court, full speed. I won't believe it until the first game of the regular season. Oh, no, the 20th game of the regular season.
Yeah, give us 20 games.
If he's a 50th percentile defender, like, that will be an enormous leap from what he was. And that's still not, like, a good defender. So, like, if he's, like, a 30th percentile defender, I'm counting that as a huge win. And maybe that's what Finch is comparing him to the baseline of what he was last season.
If Ant cracks above mediocrity, above the 50th percentile, I guarantee
Wolves are winning the chip, man.
Yeah, the Wolves will be a 5 seed, just like it's possibly KD has said on his Twitter profile for the last month.
It's possibly KD. Look, let's be real, though. Anthony Edwards' success is not contingent on his defense. He does not have to guard anyone. That's not what he's out there to do. He's out there to put the ball in the bucket. And if he can take a step forward in efficiency, if he can bump that like 33% three-point shooting up to even 35, 36, if he can bump that free throw rate up to like, you know, he was at like 25%. Free throw rate this season, which is super low for a player of his play style. If he can bump that up and start getting to the line more often, if he can shoot a little bit better from the mid range, you know, get that floater game going, that's where Anthony Edwards is going to find his success.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And I've got more faith. I've got faith that that can happen. I don't really have faith that he can become even that mediocre defender that we're talking about, but I have faith that he has all the tools. And then like 30 games or whatever it was, 35 games, like that's not a big sample size, but like that's half a season of doing it. It's not a 10-game sample size. Like I think that we saw he kind of figured some things out and could sustain it. But now the question is like, can you sustain that when the other team is game planning for that kind of Anthony Edwards every single night? And I think that's why we see so many guys regress a little bit in their second year and then maybe take a step up in their third and fourth back to where they were. Like you think of like Ja Morant, I think had a pretty mediocre season compared to what we thought he would have been after that awesome rookie season. That's what I want to see with Edwards. Like if Edwards comes out and he is that Anthony Edwards that we saw in that, you know, last 20 games of the season, the Wolves are a completely different team, but I'm not willing to kind of write that down in pen. Yeah, like I've got my gray lead out writing that right now.
For sure. He got a lot of free shots for that.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. One last note on Anthony Edwards. Today I watched the Phoenix Suns 42 points game. I go back and watch it every once in a while. It's an awesome game. But part of that 42 was that he went 8 of 9 from three, which is, you know, that's nothing, you know, that's just luck. But there was a lot of drives to the basket where I was like, oh God, this guy is so fucking good. He had one drive from the left corner and he like, as he was running, he picked up the ball and pump faked the dunk, which got Jay Crowder to like jump up and try to block him. And then he just did like a hop step and then threw it down with two hands. I was like, dude, that is an advanced ass move for someone who's been playing basketball for like 5 years.
I watched for an article I did recently. I watched all of his shots, you know, within 4 feet or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, he is a ridiculous finisher, especially I think at some stage it clicked what he had to do. Like he was kind of running into guys at the start and not moving them, just kind of bouncing off them and trying to like pump fake around things and twist his body to get better angles. I think once he realized like, man, I'm fucking huge. Like I'm just going to move these guys out the way and then get an easy layup. Like once that clicked, he is, and the touch that he has around the rim on those like reverse layups and kind of after getting knocked and getting fouled, being able to straighten his body back up. It's kind of like mini Zion-esque. Like Zion's ridiculous at that, where he just like hangs in the air for an eternity before he decides to score. But that, like, if Edwards is like a 65% shooter around the rim, he will be a good scorer even if the mid-range doesn't come and the three-point shot stays at like 34%, because like that's an outlier skill to have.
We're all talking about how Anthony Edwards has grown 2 inches, but what we're not talking about is the possibility that with all of these centers losing weight over the offseason, that Anthony Edwards is the heaviest Timberwolf on the roster.
Yeah, he could have put on some weight. I mean, he's looking pretty stacked. How do we feel about Chris Finch saying that Anthony Edwards could play some four this season?
Not for me. I'm not a complete like small ball hater, but like I am a proponent of keeping guys like young players in their positions. I think playing young guys out of position and making them learn things that they don't need to know, if that makes sense. Like Anthony Edwards doesn't need to be a power forward. Just play him where he's best and figure it. If Anthony Edwards is a very, very good shooting guard, you can lose something at power forward. You know, like if Anthony Edwards is an okay power forward, you're losing a lot more at shooting guard and at what you'd get from it. And if he was guarded by guys who are 6'3" or 6'4" and 80 pounds lighter than him, like I just think I think I'd be surprised if he does it very often. Like they might go super small for 3 or 4 minutes in a game and run zone or something for that 4 minutes, but I'd be surprised if we see like long stretches of Ant at the four. Am I wrong about that?
We're already small. I used to worry about like, oh, we don't have any power forwards on this team, like the last 2 seasons. But now I realize that we don't have any centers on this team.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think the whole small ball thing is a total misnomer. I mean, just look at the finals last year. There were 2 7-footers who were playing almost the whole game in DeAndre Ayton and Giannis Antetokounmpo. And Giannis is a different form of 7-footer, but he's still 7 feet tall. And so, like, it's not about being small. It's about being mobile and it's about being skilled. And you know, like if the Wolves plan on playing Anthony Edwards at the four for significant stretches, that is a mistake. But Dylan, that's a perfect transition talking about size. I want to talk about like the big glaring weaknesses of this team. And I think number one is the fact that this team is tiny. This team is very, very tiny. Jaden McDaniels is the biggest player and he's like 6'11 and like 215 pounds, maybe like soaking wet, you know? What are ways, Jake, that you think that this team can like, combat the big size problem that they're faced with?
It's tough. I think you hit on it just in the run-up to that. Like you have to be mobile. You have to win with your smallness. If you're going to be small, you better be quick and you better be able to shoot and you better be able to run teams out of the gym. Like if you're going to play constantly in the half court and constantly lose the rebounding battle and not be able to defend teams who play with 2 quote-unquote bigs, like, you're going to lose. So I think that with this team, the best option is – that's why I love a guy like Vando, because, like, if Jaden McDaniels is your 3, he's still not going to get on the boards very often. He's still not going to really do many big man things. But, like, if you have a 6'11 small forward – you just feel bigger. You feel longer. Like you can still play fast, and you can still kind of try and shoot teams off the floor. But you aren't this tiny. Like you don't have Anthony Edwards at the four. Like if you yeah. need to have some size out there. I still think it's going to be something in 2 months when we're back here talking about it, talking about this team. I don't think that we'll be saying, well, I remember when we thought that was too small. Like, I think that's going to be a problem all season. It's going to be a problem until they get an actual power forward or a center and play cat at the power forward.
It's almost like this team is missing a 240-pound, 6'10" kind of player who, like, maybe they can even distribute. Maybe they're an all-defensive type of player.
I don't know who you could be talking about, Dylan.
No idea. No, but Dylan and I were texting earlier. Ben Simmons solves all of the Wolves' problems, period. But I mean, he just does.
But can he solve his own problems? That's the question.
Because Kendall's in Phoenix.
Kendall doesn't care about all defensive numbers.
She wants you got to put it in with Kendall, you know what I mean?
Y'all got to score.
Let's go to you, Dylan. Is there any other like glaring weakness that you see with this team?
It's the biggest weakness. I think we have a realistic chance at 9, 10, and 11 right now. We do not have a realistic chance at getting into the playoffs as the roster is currently constructed. But
interesting.
Yeah, I every team is getting better. If the Warriors get Klay back in January, it's over. Like, the Wolves' playoff chances are over. You know what I mean? If he's healthy in January.
I'm not buying Warriors stock, but I'm always low on the Warriors. I think just because they're one Steph Curry injury away from being one of the worst teams in the league, you know?
That's true. And Steph Curry injuries did happen, especially at the beginning of his career. So you never know. I just think that we are getting a little bit like, because there's no actual basketball being played. All the Timberwolves fans are getting a little bit too excited about the basketball that could be on the court. And we just need to pump the brakes a little bit on this. I mean, granted, I still think that somehow our team is positioned to through this crazy, crazy time without a bump in the road. The fact that we have gotten away from Gerson Rosas having sex with someone who also worked for the team in his office and got locked in on. Oh, evidently,
hands down.
The new GM of the Timberwolves knows the size of Gerson Rosas' package. And yet, somehow, a week later, almost feels like we all forgot about it because there's a fucking dog on Instagram. Let's not forget, I mean, the Timberwolves are broken. The Timberwolves organization is broken.
I love that Sachin Gupta's first introduction to his new job was Gerson Rosas' dick.
it's a good luck living up to that, Sachin. You know? Unfortunately, Hillrat could not.
We all know that. We all know that Sachin has a hog. We know that Gerson is a microp.
Yeah, Sachin does have BDE like big time, so I definitely feel that. I want to bring it back just really quick away from penises, and I want to talk about basketball. I think one weakness that the more I've like looked at this roster and really thought about it is and I extrapolated a little bit about it on Twitter today is like I'm worried about the second unit creation on this team. You know, Patrick Beverley being the backup point guard is not ideal. I was going to look at the pick and roll numbers from last year for all of the Wolves guards, but I didn't do it, unfortunately. But my gut tells me that Patrick Beverley is not the ideal offensive initiator. and so that puts a lot of onus on like, is like Malik Beasley going to like have the ball in his hands in the second unit? Is Josh Okogie going to have the ball in his hands? Is Jalen Noel going to take a step to be like that, like to be able to run a second unit? Like, I don't know where that second unit creation is coming from.
Cat as the backup point guard, it's very easy.
I don't think you can play. You can't hockey sub with this team, I don't think. I think you have to have D'Lo or Anthony Edwards on the floor at all times. And that, again, depends on how good Ant is at leading a team scoring-wise and playmaking-wise. But if you can get him to mix in with Pat Bev and J.O. and Torian Prince and Naz Reid, like if you get him out early and get him back in with that lineup and just kind of let him cook a little bit, like that, I guess, would be my solution. Or do the same with D'Lo. Maybe that would be a better option with D'Lo because then at least you have Kat on the floor with Edwards. It's not ideal though, because Beverly's not a point guard, man. Like, he's like a bring the ball up and give it to someone else. Mm-hmm. And
he's a defender and a spot up shooter. That's that's all he is. He's smaller PJ Tucker. that's Patrick Beverly's role.
That's my other one. I don't think they finished at the and that probably ties into not having anyone who's big at all. Like, but even like McDaniels is not a good finisher at the rim. D'Lo's not, Malik's not, Edwards is, Chat is. And like, I don't think there's one other guy on the team who I would say is an above average finisher at the rim. I think they ranked 24th in field goal percentage at the rim last season from cleaning the glass. And I think they were maybe like fourth or fifth in like frequency and getting there. So they got to the rim and then they just missed. And I don't think they got any better at that. Like, Beverly was like 9th percentile as a finisher at the rim. Torian Prince was like 3rd or 4th percentile. Like, these dudes, they didn't get any better there. It's hard to get worse than Wancho and Jarrett Culver, but they almost did. And
yeah,
unless
I blame those two and Josh Okogie.
that's my big bugaboo, I think.
Yeah, and like, so like, chances are D'Angelo Russell is going to miss a significant chunk of games because like he consistently throughout his career has missed, you know, 20 games a season. And in those 20 games, all of a sudden we're looking at Anthony Edwards essentially as the starting point guard. And I don't think that that is a recipe for very many wins. I'm excited to see that. And I'm excited to see him like explore that role and like see what he can do in that. I don't think that like at an NBA level, he's a creator that can like actually lead a positive offense. Like I think that an Anthony Edwards led offense will inevitably be negative this season. And that's just that, you know, unless he takes a huge leap.
Yeah. Well, we're counting on that fourth year leap from Edwards in his second year. Yeah. Like, uh-huh. I don't even think it's like, it's not a knock on Edwards to say that a second year guy who was fairly unpolished coming out of college,
yeah,
like won't be able to run an NBA team that makes the playoffs. Like, I think that's a fair call. And
he has played 4 years. He's played 4 years of basketball total. And don't forget that college year was half a year.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. He's got a lot of experience. I mean, because he's not Luka Doncic. He's not like even Trae Young in his second year. Atlanta sucked, you know. and so it takes a really special player to like in their second year be able to be the best or close to the best player on a team. And you know, I'm not a big J-Mac guy. Like, I think he's a fine third guard to like, you know, just like suck up some minutes. But I just don't really think that he is. It's uninspiring. You know, if he's coming off your bench when D'Angelo Russell is hurt, and it's scary to have so much stake in D'Angelo Russell. Like, that's a tough spot to be in, you know.
Yeah, it is. They're gonna have to have like an outlier year of injuries if they do want to make this playoffs. That I guess that we all kind of have it like the very highest of ceilings for them, because like Cat, I wouldn't say Cat's injury prone. I know he's had a bad few years, but like he can't have another bad year. He has to play 75 games at least. D'Lo needs to play 70 games at least. Pat Beverly gets injured for 30 games every year. Like, he needs 60 at least. And even then, if all those guys hit the low end of those, they're all missing like 10 games. And that's too many. Cat can't miss 10 games. They cannot survive 10 games. But we've seen that too often. Like, last season, all those good vibes after the first two wins, Cat gets injured and it's like 40-point losses night after night. Like, I can't devolve back into that, man. That was depressing.
Yeah, it was hard. Let's move on to like what we're gonna see on the court. Day one, Jake, what do you think is the starting lineup for the Timberwolves?
I hope you two agree with me, because I'm very passionate about this. That
I'm ready.
It's D'Lo and McDaniels, Vanderbilt, Cat. Any other lineup to me, it doesn't make sense to play Malik Beasley, man. I don't want to see this team giving up 45-point quarters again. Like, I think he's a good player, and I think he's a fine bench piece, but, like, you need to play Vando and McDaniels on the court. That at least makes up for some of that size deficiency that we kind of have been speaking about.
Yep, that's it. That's that. If that's not the starting lineup, I don't know. Like, I'm out on Finch. Like, you know what I mean? unless it works. Like, if it works, then it works, whatever. But, like, that's the lineup that makes sense. Again, concerning, because, like, how many teams in the league would Jared Vanderbilt start for?
Mm-hmm.
And then to ask yourself, how many playoff teams would Jared Vanderbilt start for? And play like 25 minutes a game for, probably, you know. That's like,
well, when he comes out knocking down 38% of his corner threes, that conversation changes. All right.
Oh, don't tell Dade Moore. He might be a little hurt hearing that. Dylan, I assume you agree with that lineup. You feel like that's the starting lineup day one.
I think that Torian Prince has a chance. I think Torian Prince has shown more on a basketball court than Vanderbilt has. That being said, I get where people are coming from. I get the hype. I've never been a Vando fan, but
I'm a Vando stan. I'm a Vando stan, man. I'm sticking by it. I love him.
I don't think it gives you any more size than Torian Prince gives you. Especially because I think a lot of what size is on the basketball court is weight. And I think Torian Prince is just as heavy as Vando, especially at the power forward position, where it's like I did an article about this. The biggest difference between power forward and small forward is weight. It's not height. And so when someone's throwing their body at you, what you need is somebody who can stand up in the post and hold their ground. So I don't know. I don't know if we have a power forward on this team. And at the same time, I don't know if we have a center on this team. So, like, I was texting Chalenga about this earlier, and I was like, is Naz Reid a power forward possibility in this lineup? But then you don't have a center. So it's like, it's almost impossible. And it seems almost inevitable that Vanderbilt, especially after the contract he was given this summer, is going to be the starting power forward for the Timberwolves at this point.
Jake, I want to hear your Vando defense, because I mean we've been skeptical of him here on the C&D NBA show. He's mm-hmm. kind of won me over, but I want to hear where you're at with him.
The reason I think that he is a suitable power forward, I love it. I have to differentiate him, because I love him because he tries really hard all the time, and I just have a soft spot for guys like that. Like, I love Okogie as well. Mm-hmm. I can admit that Okogie is not the player I want playing 25 minutes. You know, I think the same is true with Vanderbilt. But I love them for that reason, that they kind of real hard hat kind of guys. You know, that's the type of player that I fall in love with. But my argument or my pushback that he should start is that I think what makes you big, to your point, Dylan, I think what makes him big is that he does big man things better than a Prince or a Wancho or anyone like that. Like, he rebounds the ball. He was an amazing rebounder in college, man. Like, I still don't think that – I don't think we'll ever see him that good, because NBA dudes are just bigger. Like, but he was still a very good rebounder last season, very good offensive rebounder, which is something that the team needs, and Finch has kind of stated that he wants as well. And then he's a better rim protector. I don't think he's an elite rim protector by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a better one. He's athletic. He can get up above the rim, block shots, contest. His defensive numbers are bizarrely good, because I don't think he's that level of a defender, but every single defensive metric has him like top 10 defender in the league, which is so weird, because I never thought that of him watching him, but like, the numbers next to Cat are good. Like, I think they have like a 107 defensive rating when he plays next to Cat, which is like, you know, top five in the league. And even was kind of extrapolate.
There was one game I remember against the Golden State Warriors where they kept working for the switch for Curry onto Vanderbilt, and it was not working. And JV was just like sticking with Steph Curry in a way that I was like, what the hell is going on? I didn't know this dude could move like this, to the point where I think that he is a better perimeter. Like, I think I would rather have him defending point guards than I would have him defending centers. Like, he's super mobile, super athletic.
To that point, the game that sticks out for me is the late season win over Miami, and he guarded Jimmy all night. And he gave Jimmy fits that night. Like, if Jimmy wasn't, you know, drifting for a foul, which is kind of 80% of his offense these days, but, like, he's extremely good at everything he does, Jimmy. Like, and he had him in shackles that night. Like, that was the night where I kind of started to think, like, man, he might be all right as a four that can switch onto other guys, or a guy who can guard big wings and smaller fours. If you're playing a team with two bigs, like, there's just no one on the team that's going to be able to do anything about that, because Cat should be probably guarding the four, let alone the five, and Vando at the four. But I think with the limited options, you need some defense, you need rebounding, you need a bit of toughness and a bit of energy. He's my option. He's not very good on offense, and that's going to hurt, but that's the way with this team. There's a lot of guys are either good defenders or good offensive players, but there's not many that are both. So to me, I'm choosing the lesser of two evils and going with defense. Yeah.
If this season he can take some threes, like last season he didn't even take threes. Like part of the spacing is just the willingness to take the 3-point shots, whether or not they go in. You know, like, even if he shoots 25% from three, if he takes two a game and, like, you know, like, he convinces some defenders sometimes to come out there and guard him, that's helpful, right? Like, because he kind of provides a vertical spacing element, but he's just not that big, and you know, his like vertical jump isn't quite there to be a legitimate vertical spacer, and so, like, he's got to do kind of a combo of the two. It's like, okay, I can't quite space vertically at an NBA elite level, and I can't space laterally at an NBA elite level, but I can do both and, like, you know, make the defense work to guard me. I think that's really his route to success. Dylan, I want to talk about the rotation, because, like, there's so many players on this team and so many players that I like, and I'm not even sure who's going to play. From your perspective, Dylan, like, what are the five most regular bench players on this team?
I think Josh Okogie's out. So that means Patrick Beverley. Nas Reid will be playing. And Taurean Prince, obviously. Beasley.
So you think he's a shoe-in for minutes? You think, day one, he's going to be in the rotation?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because he can knock down a three-point shot, and he can knock it down every once in a while all the time. I don't know what we have beyond that.
Jake, who's taking that fifth spot? Like, who? Because, I mean, generally, there's, like, the Wolves are going to try to play 10 players just for the sake of, you know, saving people's legs. Is it sort of a revolving door of whoever's playing best, or, like, who do you think is most likely to take those minutes?
So who are we? What position do we need, really? Like a wing? That's like a small forward, I guess. Mm-hmm. Who have we got? What are our options here? So
Okogie,
Jalen Noel, Jake Layman,
or Jordan McLaughlin.
Man, that's depressing.
Or your guy, Leandro Bolmaro.
I'm a Bolmaro stan as well. I've watched too much Spanish basketball to not be, but I don't think he plays. I still, as much as I guess is not popular opinion anymore, I still think he's a point guard. He's never been anything but a point guard. I guess that he's tall enough to be like a three, like a ball handling kind of wing, but I'm not sure how good he is if he doesn't have the ball in his hands, which is a problem for right now. So I'm out on Bolmaro to start the season, at least. I'm out on Jake Layman. Jalen Noel is too small, I think. I like Noel probably the most out of that bunch as a player, but, like, you can't have him and Malik Beasley playing on the wing at the same time, I don't think.
Even Patrick Beverley, though, like, Patrick, the
maybe,
Patrick Beverley, who can guard Kevin Durant, you know?
You might be right. Maybe you get away with that. I would probably lean Okogie because you've got a bit of extra shooting in the lineup, and at least he gives you like a little bit of defense and some, and rebounding as well, which is kind of underrated for Josh, that he's a really good rebounder and tips a lot of balls out and stuff. It's a pretty shitty pick either way, but I guess I'm leaning Okogie for some size over Noel. But if you trust that Pat Bev can guard a three, then I'd play Noel. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm not totally out on Jake Layman. I'm kind of a he's a career like 33% 3-point shooter, which is not great, but he can play within a scheme. Okay, he's a good cutter. You know, he's got a decent handle. He's got surprising athleticism. Like there's like a good player in there. He just has
and he's
to
big as well. Right.
Yeah, he is big. I think though it gets hard to play Jake Layman when you don't have like a pure point guard coming off the bench. Like he becomes a liability then. So I think that with that amalgamation of players, like Jake Layman doesn't make sense. I think Jalen Noel, I think playing small off the bench is doable because it's like who's really playing big with their Sega unit? I feel like that's not really that doesn't really happen.
At worst, you face like an Andre Drummond with the Sixers. Like he might be like the biggest backup center, you know, that you're going to face Hassan and maybe Whiteside. Have a problem with.
Hassan Whiteside, I think one thing that could make the Wolves like pop in their on their second unit, if Nathan Knight can play NBA level minutes and play that 4-5 position with Naz Reid, and so you have two sort of pick and pop forward center types, I think that could be really interesting. And granted, he's on a two-way, right? We might not see that much of him. But if he can play his way into an NBA contract, I think that there's something there because he flashed some interesting things in Summer League. He's super foul-prone, obviously. He like averaged like 6 or 7 fouls per game. But I think there's something there. And so like that he would be the most – I would be most interested in seeing him play his way into that like last spot, you know?
And then you can slide Taurean Prince down to the three.
The three, yeah.
I think it's a 9-man rotation, to be honest. I think that whatever is going to happen between the starters, one of those guys, one of our stars, be it Ant, be it D'Angelo, be it Cat, is going to be playing a lot with the bench. And that's the only way that you can make that work. Because Ant can play the three. I don't know about D'Lo, so maybe it has to be Ant or Cat, really, to give you the size that you need. But someone needs to be there to facilitate. And it's just not going to be Malik Beasley, and it's not going to be Patrick Beverley.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question. What do we think Beasley's minutes load is like? Like, what kind of, like, do you think he's going to get low 30s, high 20s, low 20s? Like, that's, I'm kind of really intrigued about where Beasley's going to fit in around all these other guys.
I look at him as like a 25 minute a game player. Like I feel like he feels like one of the first off the bench, and then he like carries over into when the starters come back. Like he like Jared Vanderbilt subs him out, right?
Yeah.
And so like the Wolves play some time with D'Lo Beasley, Ant McDaniels and Cat, and that's like a very regular lineup that we'll see. That to me feels like the way, because like he's borderline starter. Like I could see why, like an argument for him starting if like just like saying like fuck it, like we're not gonna stop anybody anyway. Let's just like let's have a top five offense. Let's go for it. You know?
Yeah, especially in games probably where like that Vanderbilt starting lineup isn't getting it done defensively anyway. Like if they're playing bad defense, Finch might just go like, yeah, fuck it. Like let's go out there and shoot this team off the floor because we're not stopping anybody anyway.
Let's make the Lakers play Anthony Davis at the five. Like, let's just do it, you know? Like, let's run. And even that still is going to be tough. But it's better than going up against two bigs, three bigs, essentially, with LeBron James at this point, you know? Like, that team is massive.
He got skinny. He got skinnier.
He did get skinnier. Just a couple more questions before we leave. I want one lineup that you're really excited to see with the Timberwolves. I'll go first. I want to see a lineup with fucking
Patrick Beverly, Malik Beasley, Josh Okogie, and Jared Vanderbilt, and then insert fifth player, maybe Anthony Edwards. And I just want to see a lineup that is playing fast as fuck and just like in the passing lanes, they're fucking switching everything or playing a zone and they're scrambling all over and just like just to run it down people's throats. Because I think the key to the second unit offense is that they have to play fast. Like that's the only way to do it. And so like finding as many lineups with just like insane energy, I feel like is like, let's try it. Cause we're not like our regular offensive system isn't going to work with the second unit.
Chalinga, there's no way you want to do that in any situation where there's any consequence. You want to do that in 2K. You don't want to see that on the court. Are you kidding me?
Let me see a solid like 120 minutes of it on the season. So I have a little bit of a sample size, you know?
That's 120 minutes of absolute chaos.
Is there any interesting lineup combinations come to your mind?
I want to see Bev, Anthony Edwards, Jade McDaniels, Taurean Prince, and Kat. Like pretty much sub Beverly in there for D'Lo, which kind of gets the ball out of one player's hands who doesn't play defense as well. Let Ant and Kat just cook, surround them with shooters and guys who can defend, and you know, let's go. Because that there's a chance that's probably a better lineup than D'Lo, you know, than the starting lineup. But they're gonna start D'Lo, you know. Like mm-hmm. I think we're gonna see a lot of that lineup. Yeah. I think just Anthony Edwards, Kat, and shooters that defend, the three shooters who can defend on the roster. Put them all in one little pot and mix it up and see what comes out the other side.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Anthony Edwards pick and roll to the playoffs, baby. Dylan, anything come to mind for you?
All right. Isaiah Miller, Jordan McLaughlin.
What the hell?
Patrick Beverly, Josh Okogie, Malik Beasley.
Isaiah Miller's playing the five in this lineup. His hopes better be as real as advertised.
You know, effective height, right? That's
how high you can jump.
So like, if we're going to go with unrealistic things that are stupid, let's just go with unrealistic things that are stupid then.
You're not gonna be saying that when you see my lineup on the floor fucking forcing turnovers and shit. All right, Jake, over under the latest MGM odds for the Timberwolves is 34.5. Over under 34.5 wins for this team.
Over. Pour the Kool-Aid, give it to me, serve it up, I'm drinking it. Over by multiple games.
Ooh. Dylan, over under 34.5?
Yes, 7 games over. It's 34.5 already. It went up. Yeah. It went up a game after the sex scandal.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it started at 32.5 and it's just rising. So you know, it's crazy. I'm an over only because I have to be.
It's no fun if you're under. It's no fun doing the podcast every week if you think they're going to win less than 34 games.
And honestly, less than 34 games is kind of a disaster. So,
oh, big time.
All right. Well, Jake, thanks for coming on the show. What's upcoming for you? What do you want to plug?
Nothing in particular. Just head over to houseandgrowls.substack.com. That's the newsletter. You can sign up there and get all my stuff kind of direct to your email, or you can read it on the site. Heaps of content coming out. I've got like 3 kind of mainstay pieces that come out a week with video and X's and O's breakdowns and deep dives and stuff. Those famous 2 deep dives into Spanish players and whatnot. And then I'll have like player ratings and weekend reviews and just little stuff like that to tie you over. So if you are a Timberwolves super fan, which if you're listening to a Timberwolves podcast, I'm guessing you are, head over there.
In particular.
If you've got through an hour of an Australian talking about a team in Minnesota, then yeah, head over and you won't have to hear my voice. You can just read my words and yeah, that's all I've got to plug. And you can obviously jump on Apple and Spotify and stuff and type in Paint Points, which is the podcast as well. So yeah, that's all my shameless plugging.
That's Paynt Points.
Yes.
For Jake Painting. And what's your Twitter handle?
At Jake Painting.
At Jake Painting, PAYNTING. Thank you for listening to the CND NBA show. Please head over and subscribe to Jake's Substack. And while you're at it, go over to Apple and Spotify and subscribe to Jake's podcast. And while you're at it, actually subscribe to the CND NBA show. Leave a rating and review for both, 5 stars or nothing. Just kidding. Any rating and review helps. So give us anything. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at CND NBA show. Give us an email at cndnba@gmail.com. If you want to be on the show,
Scoopy, just
let us know.
And you can't be on the show.
No, we tried twice. It's over now. We're done.
Scoopy, you're allowed. Scoopy, not
the
allowed.
The Scoopy beef, Twitter beef is my favorite content.
I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep on going. You know, one of these days. And he's going to, I think he would actually be such a fun guest. Like, I listened to him on a recent podcast that I'm not going to say the name of the podcast. I thought it was horrible. It was like unlistenable, if I'm being honest.
Guess what? That's par for the course here in the CND NBA show.
Yes. Scoop B, just bring you a book of lies and we can talk rumors.
As always, if you want to be on the podcast, just let us know and you will be on. If you want a writing job at Zone Coverage, just let us know. Tom will give you a job unless you suck. So just don't suck. Thanks so much. Goodbye.
Pay Jake Painting. It says so in his name.